Good afternoon. So I'll jump straight in. So structure from motion, or SFM, is a method of creating 3D surfaces using overlapping imagery. What's really cool about SFM is you don't need complicated photogrammetric methods. You don't need consistent focal lengths. In theory, all you need is a number of ground control points and images that overlap. That's it, in theory. This process has revolutionised everything it's touched, from archaeology through to monitoring beach boulder erosions and even climate science. What I want to know is whether it will revolutionise planetary science. And to do that, need to characterise a number of dependencies. And these include if we're going to do it with ground-based vehicles, because it's very difficult to fly things on Mars and impossible to fly anything on the Moon. Looking at rover mobility, camera height above the ground, time taken to complete the survey, and whether there is a dependence on the camera resolution that you're using. So what we did was chose a study site, a small 1 metre wide by 8 metre long gully near where we lived, just a small erosive feature there, accessible for reasonably mobile wheeled vehicles and reasonably analogous to some of the small-scale erosive features that we would find on Mars. So these are the two rovers we used. Marsabot Junior on the left went to New Zealand to the Hot Springs. Both vehicles are remote controlled. Junior was smaller and slightly less mobile than Little Blue, but it used a high resolution camera. Little Blue, slightly larger, but using a lower resolution first person video camera. Before we went to the gully, we did initial test setup using an object of known dimensions, i.e. a house brick. So something that I could physically measure and tie what the models were giving me to something in reality. Both rovers were driven around in a 360-degree circle, imaging the bricks at various dimensions. Then we performed the survey using a human-based survey, basically a person with a handheld camera, taking photographs of the bricks. We used times taken to complete the survey, number of points captured in our 3D models, and the accuracy of the models themselves as metrics for success. So here's the results from the brick survey. The two images on the bottom are the point clouds generated by the handheld survey, very detailed. The handheld survey also had the smallest error, was able to generate the most detailed elevation model consisting of over 86,000 points, and the time taken was less than half a minute. Going to the two rover surveys, and immediately the time jumps up to an order of magnitude. And these are teleoperated rovers, by the way. They're not semi-autonomous at all. And with Junior and then Little Blue, the number of points generated by the point clouds have dropped, and the errors have jumped up. Moving on to the gully now. So quick word on the setup. We used objects that could be identified in the point clouds, such as rocks. We set those at equidistant intervals, and that way we could tie our 3D models to a physical representation of the Earth's surface. We performed the surveys using the two rovers and also a handheld survey, similar to what we did for the house brick. I might mention here that we used an open source photo modelling software package called Photosynth for our point cloud generation. The image on the right hand side is one of the many mishaps that were suffered on conducting this survey. So here's a result showing an overview of the traverses on the left. The green ellipse represents the path taken by the human-based survey. So mobility was no issue. We could walk where we wanted and take pictures of what we wanted. The blue line shows the traverse representation taken by Little Blue. Mobility is more restricted. We're able to drive up to the eastern side of the gully into the confluence and stop. The red line is the shortest of all. This is the traverse taken by Junior, the least mobile of all rovers, and the best it could manage was a few metres along the eastern side of the gully. On the right-hand side is a DEM elevation model created by one of the point clouds, and the blue arrows are highlighting the positions of the calibration stones that we use for our ground control points. Pink lines are showing some of the measurements we use to generate error characterisation. We used roughness as a metric to work out how detailed our DEM is. The higher the roughness, the more complicated the elevation models. On the left-hand side, the handheld generated them one hands down at a roughness of 57%. And it was the highest resolution, and we were able to see everything we photographed. Going to the rover with the next highest resolution camera, Junior, we're down to 13% roughness. So massive drop in complexity. And we're starting to experience visibility issues. So portions of the terrain that are hidden from the rover because the camera's not high enough. By the time we get down to Little Blue and the listing there, you're seeing we're down to 9%, reflecting the low resolution of the camera. These results are echoed in analysis of the point clouds themselves. This is a handheld survey. It was the most accurate with an error of 0.26%. And the time, we're up to 3 whole minutes this time, and we're able to generate the most amount of points using this method. This is the Junior results, so a lot less little red dots than there were little blue dots for the handheld survey. And we're starting to see voids in our elevation. Those are areas where the 3D model was unable to be generated because the rover couldn't see the surface. Little Blue, the story gets even sadder. This generated the fewest amount of points, and the errors have jumped up from 0.26 to 6%. And looking at the times, as with the house brick, the times have absolutely blown out. So what we did, in the interest of good science, is we took the lessons learned and we revisited the site. This time we chucked all the cameras away from the rovers and we used a standard GoPro Hero 16 megapixel camera for all the rovers and used GPS surveyed ground control points as our metrics. And we included a larger rover this time, so the Miner, which stands about this high. We used Little Blue again to characterise a smaller rover. And we treated ourselves to an upgrade of professional software called PhotoModeler. We're not just generating tens of thousands of points anymore, we're generating millions and billions of points. On the right-hand side, you can see the times of the robots compared to the human-based survey. Still quite sad, they're taking forever and a day. But when we actually start looking at the mobility, on the top right-hand image, you're seeing the green triangles, which are the camera positions of the larger rover, the Miner. As you can see, the larger rover was more mobile. We were able to cover more of the gully. Top left-hand image, Little Blue, the blue triangles showing similar things. Not as mobile, but we're feeling a little bit more confident this time, and we're actually able to cover more of the gully than we did for the first survey. But what's really cool is looking in the centre of the elevation areas, we're getting differences in elevation between the human-based survey and the two robot surveys of under 1 centimetre. So when the rovers can actually physically see the terrain and we have high-resolution cameras and enough images, we're getting phenomenal accuracies. We're still getting visibility issues. So that eastern wall of the gully and behind the boulder where the smaller rover physically can't see. And once we upgraded to PhotoModeler, we were able to generate more detailed point clouds. So what we showed was that increased number of images, increased camera resolution and increased camera height above the ground equals an increased accuracy for 3D models. So structure from motion will and is revolutionising field work. Every man, his pet dog uses UAV-based methods for this. However, we've demonstrated that this method is still useful for ground vehicles, such as when you've got no atmosphere and you can't fly. Camera resolution, image coverage and height above ground are critical factors. Future models, we hope, will be able to develop onboard point cloud processing because you really do need a large number of images for this process to work. And solving the point cloud model on board will save you having to transmit hundreds of images to a ground station. And the proliferation of single board computers we've seen in recent years, this is going to be a question of when, not if. Future SFM methods may also be useful for autonomous navigation and also for search and rescue environments in a terrestrial application.